Are you Mandalorian?
I'm a simple man making his way through the galaxy. Like my father before me.
3 Men and a Baby Yoda Podcast. Matthew, Dylan, Callan.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 46 of the 3 Men and a Baby Yoda podcast. I'm Matthew Mole, your host, and joining me tonight are my two reliable co-pilots, Mr. Alan Gardner and Mr. Matthew Turbo. We are down Dylan. Dylan is not here tonight. His brother got married, and he's knackered from all the wedding stuff. You'd think he got married, but it didn't stop him from putting on the weirdest Instagram reel, which we've all been discussing in the pre-show. We'll make sure to put that in the spoilers of that context picture. Cal, how are you, buddy? You finally back after a month-long hiatus
of no internet. Yeah, I've just moved into the new house, and it's awesome. It's crazy how I think I maxed out my, was it 200 gig on my phone, just hotspotting. No internet was made it a very challenging few weeks to watch anything. So I caught up on Andor, started dipping my toe into the Tales of the Jedi, and it's been pretty cool. My son, did we catch up before Halloween? My son dressed up as a stormtrooper for Halloween, which was pretty cool. Then he, like, out of like the 15 different outfits he had, he chose that, which I was like, well done, son.
Pretty chuffed. But,
yeah, so that was cool. But yeah, man, just been cruising now. I'm back. I'm living in the Shire. I'm a Shire boy, blood and sand, and I'm going to get a few tattoos and I'll be laughing.
A few tattoos. What's that tattoo, the Southern Cross one you need to get? Is that it?
I do actually have one of those.
Oh, that's the one.
That's the one. And then our third man, Mr. Turbo, the King of Anfield, champion of Europe. How are you, mate?
We don't want to talk about Anfield right now. Liverpool,
mate, you are the Robin Hood of the Premier League. You take from the rich and you give to the poor.
Yeah, Premier League's no good, but we made it to the round of 16 for the Champions League. So, you know, 50-50. Not all is lost.
Not 50-50.
No. I think we have to actually win the Champions League to actually get in the Champions League next year. That's the way it's going in the Premier League right now. Oh, they're becoming ninth.
Yeah, it hasn't been a good year for you. But your fantasy team's doing well. I'm sliding out again. I did the math. If I hadn't done a trade for 5 weeks, if I left my team untouched, I think I'd be strong. I am my own worst enemy at the moment. I'm just picking shit and costing myself heaps.
But I'm considering staying up, getting up at 3:30 to watch this Tottenham Liverpool game.
God, you are such a zombie.
No. See, I got this thing. I have this compulsion. I've talked about this before. The two games that I haven't actually got up and watched or able to watch live were Nottingham Forest and Leeds, and we lost those two games. So I have to get back to my, sleepless nights.
I don't go to prelims anymore because we lose them all the time because of Matt.
I actually give you tickets to the games you lose.
Yeah, that's more. I'm the superstitions. I'm big on them.
So yeah, I'm big on them too. So I'll be up at 3:30.
You know, I've actually watched the two games, Liverpool and Leeds games, Leeds and the Forest games. Those are the two games you lost. So maybe I shouldn't watch it, and then you'll be sweet.
Yes, that's right.
That as well.
Let's do the opposite.
You know, I'm not that spiteful that I'm going to get up at 3:30 a.m. to watch your team play and ruin my day tomorrow as well. Like, so I'll let it go unspoiled and just hope for the best. But it's good that we're all here because we are in such a golden age of television. I mean, Hot D, Rings of Power. Cal, what have you watched out of Andor? Which ones have you watched out of those three shows?
So I'm House of Dragons. Definitely I'm doing House of Dragons. I think I'm not caught up to with one. But Andor is still blowing my mind. I'm loving Andor at the moment, and I've just did the toe into Tales of the Jedi, and I've on a Star Wars front, I loved both of them. I've watched them late at night, like laying in bed. Mm-hmm. So, but geez, they're good so far. So I've watched the Ahsoka, which is awesome, and then the Dooku Qui-Gon. I don't know if I was tired, but I just did not pick up it was Qui-Gon for a fucking hot minute. And I'm like,
it was Liam Neeson Jr. or something.
Yeah, like I knew Dooku, and I only knew it was Dooku because of his saber.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, it just wasn't clicking in my brain, maybe because it was 11:30 at night when I was watching it. And then
Qui-Gon had a different voice. It was actually Liam Neeson's son, I think. It was. So the younger Qui-Gon.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Still fucking completely different voice, if I'm honest. But
yeah, completely different. Yeah. Sounded a bit more English than Irish. So
yeah. I really liked it.
But I mean, you are the biggest Rogue One fan. Do you think Rogue One is like the number one movie for you in the whole saga or just the Disney saga?
The whole saga for me.
Whole saga, wow. So this Andor show is just like, I mean, Tales of the Jedi, you know, just reinforced the prequel, and like filling in gaps and holes and just, you know, hitting those Star Wars feels and fairy dust moments. So, and this Andor show is just, you know, after a bit of a slow start, it's just getting bigger and bigger every week.
I don't think it's slow. Because it's just a different angle of how they're telling it. It just doesn't have lightsabers and all these stormtroopers running around all the time. A couple now, but I love that it's slow and showing a side of we've just never seen, an angle we've never seen in Star Wars, really. And the detail you get in some of these episodes is, and the storytelling's really, really, really well done.
Mm.
Like, what are we, episode, what episode is it in Andor?
We're episode nine now. Three quarters done.
And it's like, and when you say it, like, it is a slow start, because, like, really in the scheme of things, not too much has been fucking told. But, like, he's just building his whole background of why, you know he dies. So it's like, that's what I love about it. You know the end game. It's just, I'm really liking it.
What about you, Terms?
Yeah, out of those shows you mentioned, I don't watch House of the Dragon, not because I don't want to. It's just I never watched Game of Thrones. So, but yeah, Rings of Power was awesome. But yeah, and I did watch Tales of the Jedi. I haven't got much to say about it. I enjoyed it for what it was, but it's not something I'm going to revisit. It was a nice little 15-20 minute episodes that kind of gave a bit of a backstory of Qui-Gon and Dooku and Ahsoka, but the real meat is the real main course is Andor. Like, it's just I don't know what to say about this show. Like, it's sometimes I'm speechless when I'm talking.
It's like nothing we've ever had before. It's
yeah,
it's so good. Like, and like, you know, I don't know. I just don't know how.
Know what to say.
It's not what we asked for. I love that. I love it. It's captivating.
It is captivating. So I'm holding on every single word that every single character is saying. Like,
yeah,
I think Tony Gilroy said there was 170 speaking roles in this series in season one. 170 speaking roles. So you think about the casting, the scripts required for this, and like every single thing that characters say has meaning or leads to something. Like,
yeah,
there's no redundant dialogue.
It's not super heaps of fluff, eh?
Yeah. There's no throwaway lines, really. Like, it's just like a 12-course meal.
I've got some lines that we can assess as we move on. But I mean, we'll start, episodes 1 to 3, and that's where sort of like, you know, the conjecture early was it's very slow and it wasn't sure what it was building to, because, I mean, that was the one where they sort of had to build the Cassian Andor backstory. It was very Apocalypto. meets Star Wars, and then, you know, by the end of three, it was off and running, and it established all the characters. But they're very much saying, like, as we move on, one minute you're here, then you're flipping around the place, but you're not tuning out. Every bit is captivating and has your attention the whole time. It's very much like very similar to the Game of Thrones. Oh, you've never watched the term, but the Game of Thrones formula, where you're invested in everyone and you care about all the dialogue, regardless of the situation. So one minute you could be here, and one minute you could be there. But
there's a link. There's always a link, and you're trying to always see where it goes.
Well, I mean, it's also interconnected. I mean, like, you know, the first three episodes set the scene. And then, you know, 3 to 6, we had, you know, I actually used, me and my wife had a fight, and then my wife apologized. And then I said something like, the axe forgets, but the tree remembers. And she's like, what the fuck does that mean? I go, oh, you'll see one day. And, I just
had to use it. I picture my fist pumping himself. Yes, got it. Nailed it.
I was like, yes. She's like, what the fuck does that mean? I'm like, Then we watch the episode. But the high—I mean, what's been your favorite part so far, Turbo, in this whole 9-show episode so far?
Oh, so for me, there's probably two things. There's probably every single scene with Mon Mothma in it. Like, I'm hanging on every word, watching it.
You're a Mon Frothma, okay?
No, yeah, Mon Frothma.
You and Struthers just want to bang her, okay? No,
there's just something about her, I don't know, her grace, her poise, and like she's kind of leading these, like, she's living a lie basically. So like everything you see where in her apartment and the husband and everything, she's like, she's not being a true self. Mm. She's only being a true self with everyone. So I like that whole thing. But for me, the sort of arc that I like the best is this current one, which is the prison one. For me, it's just like, I'm a huge fan of like dystopian movies, just like, and this whole, like, it's almost like a bit of horror to it. Like the whole, you're feeling trapped. It's paranoia, that sort of thing. And I'm loving these prison scenes.
This prison story, so I sent you the thing, like, it's an homage to George Lucas's THX-1138 movie.
I've got the VHS right here. Let me just grab the VHS for everyone at home.
In Turbo's antique
old fucks.
No, see, I've got the VHS there, right there. Jeez. PG.
Jesus Christ! Have you got the VHS player somewhere?
I do. Yeah.
Turbo's junkie. Watto's junkyard over there.
Yeah, Watto's junkyard.
Cal, what's your favourite bit so far? Don't steal mine.
No, I agree with 100% Turbo saying around this prison arc is going to be, and already is, and you see it's just going to be like hectic. And I love that it's there, like, 9. How many episodes are in this? 20?
12.
It's only 12
in the first season, and then another 12 later.
Yep. And as of today, Tony Gilroy said we will be returning to Yavin 4 in season 2.
Interesting.
Anyway. Yeah, so this prison arc is supposed to be 8, 9, and 10, episode 8, 9, and 10. So the prison arc should be theoretically, Tony Gilroy has said in interviews that, 9, and 10 is the prison arc, and then 11 and 12 is the finale. So we should see an escape next.
7, 8, 9, and 10, yeah.
We should see an escape next.
My most hated, that character, that fucking dweeby,
Cyril.
I cannot fucking stand that character in this show.
Really?
And it's not from a bat. Like, he's doing exactly, like, just his facial expressions drive me up
with his eyes.
Fucking wall, man. And it's just like he's playing it really well. Like, I think he's doing what he's meant to do, but fuck me, it drives me up the wall. I sit there and I just get infuriated staring at him, and it's. I don't know why.
Do you know who's worse than Cyril? His mum. His mum.
Yeah.
If you think Cyril's bad, his mum is a shocker. absolute.
That's why Cyril turned out that way. Like, that's the way, that's how he is.
Makes sense.
His mum, you know.
His mum is such a cunt. She's just always on his case. And then he's like, I got promoted. And she's like, ooh, I love you, Cyril.
Yeah, no, I am.
So, what about the awkward conversation with Deirdre? Like he was he was trying to hit on her almost.
Oh, like, my, I nearly like shut my eyes, dude. I'm like, this is making me so uncomfortable.
That was almost like George Lucas cringe-esque, like on Naboo.
Yeah. No, but it wasn't cringy to me. It was more scary. Like it was creepy
as all hell.
It was like, creepy. Yeah.
I was on with Josh and Catherine, and my notes were, Cyril has no game in that moment. Like, because he was, like, trying to hit on her, tell her how much she means to him, and also how they have shared interests. Oh, and then she, like, grabbing
it,
her.
It reminded me of, like, an AVO type fucking guy needs to be fucking put in, like, It made me so uncomfortable, and I was just
it was real cringy.
And he basically admitted that he was stalking her as well.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I've been waiting here just in case you come by. Fucking hell.
The funniest scene, I thought a funny scene I didn't expect to see in Star Wars is Andor in fucking Mexico smashing beers and banging fucking hookers or whatever. That was fucking funny to me a few episodes ago.
That's Space Mykonos, wasn't it?
Space Mykonos, yeah. I love
that. It's actually Space Blackpool in the UK, so.
Oh, really?
If you look closely, the beach isn't that nice a beach, and it looks a bit dreary, sort of UK weather. So
yeah, it was that made me laugh. But it was like he's got the money and but to go back to my favorite, like, outside of where the prison scene was leading up to it, I love that there's this whole money thing that they're talking about it and they're looking for him. No one can find him. I thought the fucking – when the name piece and they got the 6 years, a fucking angle I didn't see coming. And I just love that whole lead up. That episode when they got out, they flew out of the fucking through the asteroids. That was probably my favorite so far.
The eye, yeah.
Dude, that was cool.
That was mental. That was the settings and the film cinematography and
Star Wars to angle just levels and shit that we just haven't seen before, it's just telling it a different way, which I always go on that. I love the random different bits of detail in all these different shows that you haven't seen in Star Wars before, and that's what's been really cool.
I've actually really enjoyed this in other podcasts, and because there's so many characters, it's so hard if you don't have like a really like photographic memory, like, you know, Chris Hall and some of the other guys are like, and Josh Chapman, they're like, oh yeah, that guy, that chick, like, you get so much time on them, but there are so many kind of like Nemec. And scores the other. What was the guy who betrayed him? Skeen or something? And then there's
Vel
and Cinter and Tamarind. And
that was a sick fucking scene when he fucking capped that dude.
Oh, that whole episode 6, I was just unable to stop breathing. I wasn't sure if I was breathing the whole time. I was just like eyes on the screen, like, and then and just mental. And then, you know, there's a nice little breather for episode 7. And then the last two episodes have just, you know, blown me away.
Yeah, I watched them back to back. That was really sick. Back, like, just straight through. It was, that was pretty epic.
Well, Cal, you're a Thrawn aficionado like myself. Do you like the way that Deirdre, when she was interviewing Bix, the way she held the room and how ruthless and smart and just all over the place she was, like, I got a real Thrawnish vibe from her.
Man, I cannot tell you if Thrawn went on this screen in this season, like,
he's rolling his eye. He's not going to let it happen. He doesn't want it to happen, and it's not.
If they mention his name, you'll hear the squeal come through the fucking messenger.
I get what you're saying, but I'm at the stage now, like, when I was going into Andor, I was like, oh, who's going to appear? Is Mendo going to appear? And Krennic, like, and all these sort of cameos. And then I'm going through the series. We're at like episode 9. And I'm like, I don't care if we don't see any cameos at all right now. I'm loving it. And I don't need anyone.
But Thrawn isn't a cameo that anyone knows. But Thrawn isn't someone that people know yet. So Thrawn's
There hasn't been any cameos. Like Saw Gerrera has a place in the storyline.
Exactly. He did that well as well. He
has a place in the storyline. I mean, my favorite part of this show, I mean, I have for my entire Star Wars life, I loved the ISB, reading about the ISB, you know, imagining it, what it's like. And what we're getting is everything I always thought it would be and more. Like this Deidre Mero character is just...
She's a bad bitch.
She's on the money 100%. She's playing space chess and she's putting all the pieces together. And
I originally thought she might have been a rebel. Up until
episode 8, I was thinking she would. I was actually on her side, right? And then the start of episode 9, when she's interrogating Bix, she was just so hardcore.
Ruthless,
like,
man, eh?
The look on her face, like you couldn't stop looking at her face, and the horror of it was just like she was brutal.
Yeah.
Did you see the one where she was the close up and she's like looking real heinously weird? Yeah. And then her face twitches. Yep. That little twitch. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, she's cracking her neck as well. Did you see at the start of the scene?
I thought that was my knee. And I go, was that my knee or did I just hear a crack? And I went back. I was like, fucking hell, this chick, she's gone.
And what was the line she said? She said, the very worst thing you could do right now is bore me.
Yeah.
In this interrogation.
That was a bad bitch. That was such a bad bitch. Yeah. That was sick. I thought Reva was like the big bad bitch of who we've seen recently. And, you know, I was like, this chick's carving. Man, she's taking it to another level.
No, like
ball buster. She's a ball buster.
She's all over it. And you know, I just don't know what to expect now because you know. Okay, so this prison arc is going to end now. I just don't know where we're going next. Like,
but do you reckon the you know how it's always been about we don't need the Navy, we're the ISB, we're separate. Do you reckon we're going to get a big dog cameo from the Navy? Could be Thrawn, could not be, could be someone else,
could be Tarkin.
Yeah, do you think? Because they're gonna fuck this up. He's gonna get out, right? Well, like he has to, so they're gonna fuck it up.
He's gonna get out, but I think there's got to be something with like his mother Marva, like she's getting spied on, like they're watching her and using her as bait. So that has to be something in the last two episodes. Like she's either gonna die And Bix as well. So, like, there's got to be something to do with Bix and Marva in the last two episodes. Don't know what. I've got no idea, but.
Thrawn stabs her. No.
what do you think of this Andy Serkis performance?
Oh, what's his name? Kino Loy or something?
Yeah.
Is that the head dude?
That's Andy Serkis, the guy with the grey. He's Gollum.
Who also played Gollum, Snoke.
Snoke.
Yeah.
Snoke is.
I saw that on
It's brought upon all is he going to become Snoke theories? Like, we're just getting Andy Serkis.
But, I mean, you look like it's a great character. Like, he's a prisoner. He's trying to keep everyone in line. Episode 8, he's just trying to keep the peace and make sure everyone does their job. And now the episode 9, the paranoia sets in and, like, Cassian's on his back saying, you know, sort of, haven't you thought of escaping? And like, he's just kind of pressuring him all the time. And then he finally kind of breaks when he realizes, you know, stuff's going down on
level two. No one's ever getting out.
Level two, yeah.
But I mean, episode 8, Cassian is like shitting himself the entire episode, just absolutely, you know, shitting his pants and like scared shitless the whole time. And then episode 9, you literally see, you know, the system break down and everyone's resolve just absolutely disappear. You know, I'm just counting down the day. I've only got a few shifts left. And then it's like, it doesn't matter. Nobody leaves.
Yeah, what has he got? 200 something days.
You just get moved around.
Yeah.
And poor, what's his name? Olaf. Old mate, 40 days left, and he has a stroke, the poor dude.
Who are the seven guys in the team? Can you name them, Turbo?
No, I can't.
Melshi. There's Olaf, Melshi, Geef, which is Cassian. Wasn't there a guy called
Ham? No, Keith. He's Keith. He's Keith as in.
Keith, yeah. Ham, Tagger. I can't remember the last two.
Yeah, that's because it doesn't matter. I love that, like that different language through the things, like the sign language. I thought that was cool. And then the how he's already got a couple of connections in other little pods, and they're talking about different tactics.
The thing that was confusing to me with that was like they were saying that it took so long for a message to get through across via sign language or whatever.
Because they would only see each other once a day.
It takes a week to do it because you only walk past someone from the other side once a week or something. So it actually those messages, hand signals, are instantaneous, but an actual message of.
But how often the crossover happens is not very often, yet.
Yeah. I think they keep that sort of in line. What do you think they're building? What are they building? Death Star parts?
Robot
arms? I don't even think it matters. They're just building
the Empire shit. The Empire doesn't waste it. Catherine thinks they're just building shit on one level and disassembling it like next door. I'm not buying. I'm not. The Empire do not waste. There's not. They're not going to spend billions on a prison.
Didn't they already drop the they were moving a lot of shit's moving to the Death Star where it's getting built? That era.
A lot of stuff on Scarif. A lot of shit, Mr. Scarif. Yeah.
Guaranteed. They're definitely built. But
what about Cassian's little escape plan? Like I know he's like trying to cut through that pipe. Is he gonna cause a ruckus with that next week or something? Or what do you reckon his plan is?
I was just going full Shawshank Redemption. Full Shawshank. Like I think what he's trying to do there is cause some sort of maintenance issue. They'll have to come down the escalator or the elevator thing, and that's when they sort of pounce. And
because you can't get shocked on the elevator, right? That's the thing. Every little bit of dialogue is like. It matters. They were looking at them, and they were touching the handrails and on the elevator.
How they looked at the shoes on the way in, like they looked made sure that you looked like that angle.
I agree. So, what about that when he was coming into the prison, right? And there was that sort of weird moment where he's getting in, he's getting checked in, and the fifth, sixth guy hadn't come, and it was like, what's going on? It actually looked like he was breaking.
I didn't break it. Pick that. I was trying to figure out where that might go, and I couldn't. I don't know if Turbo, you understood that. I didn't understand that, and I was like, so it might be saying that, like they're kind of like it's okay, they fuck it up sometimes, type thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only seen this one once. I've pretty much seen every other episode three times, but this one, I was away last week, so I've only seen it once.
Oh, you've only seen it once, and then. And then this week, they're obviously planning the escape. I just don't feel like any outside help is needed on this one. Like the fortress is so big that external help
has to be
is
from inside.
Inside only.
Yeah.
I don't see Saw Gerrera. I mean, that's the thing. Like everything is so interconnected. Like this week's last week's episode where Luthen meets with Saw Gerrera, he mentions the name Maya Pei, Anton Krieger. All these like rebel cells that they want to work with on this gig, which I'm guessing will be the final finale. And then when they pick up a rebel pilot near the Ring of Kafreen this week, Maya Pei gets mentioned, Anton Krieger, like Deidre is so close to her. And then she's like, oh, let's just stage the death and do it this way. And they're like, good job.
They mentioned something about a power station. Was it Steelhouse Power Station or something?
Who was that?
When they were talking about Anto Krieger.
That's the target. Was that the target? That was the vibe I got. It was the next. That was the next target. He was trying to get Saul Guerrero to jump in on.
Did you get that, Matt? Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Matt's looking confused over here, Mole.
No.
I've only seen it once. I should have watched it before we started recording.
Don't be silly. I only ever watched everything once. Matt,
what do you think about this dodgy banker that they're talking about? What's his name? Davo?
His name is.
Have you heard of him?
His name is Tay Colmer.
Tay Colmer.
Dodgy banker, but the dodgy thug is Davo Skolden.
Dodgy thug with the money, right?
With the money. So what's happened is Mothma's been doing all her cooking, her books and stuff prior to Tay Colmer, and then she's brought Tay Colmer on, and he's able because it's getting harder and harder for her to move money around. But there's one transaction that she's fucked up on, and she can't.
It was like 400 grand or something.
She can't balance the books now, and so she's going to need to take a loan from him. You know, he's a good banker. He's not just going, oh, you're fucked. He's coming out, I've got a solution for you. So that's what you do as a banker. You can't just go, oh, I don't know what to do. It's like,
you just figure out how to cook the books.
You can't cook the books. You can't just make 400 grand disappear. Because the Empire can scan your accounts and instantly you're cooked. And that's coming with this public order restricted directive. So
Poured.
It's quite funny how Andor has set all these chain reactions in motion, and then, you know, while he's just at Space Mykonos buying some cigarettes, he gets arrested and he's now in prison, and everything's, you know, he gets no justice because of what he's done at Aldani, and then he's in prison and everyone's just getting fisted left, right, and center, and he's actually the cause of all of his own problems.
But this is.
Well, he's the cause of everyone's problems. Like, yeah. He's caused that.
It's so cool that this is where the rebellion starts. What was that one line of that the art dude, the fancy art guy, Luthen Rao. What was that one liner he did around was it with Saul Guerrero around starting the rebellion, or someone's starting the rebellion, or someone's got to do it, or something? It was like, I'm fucking butchering this, but it was basically like, we need everyone to suffer.
We need everyone to start working together because everyone else has their own agendas and everything, but we all have the same goal and we need to be a team. And, you know, he needs air support in order to complete this next mission. And I love the, you know, also the fact that they're both pretending like the other one did the job. Or not letting the other one know if they actually did it or not. They're just beating around the bush.
Yeah. I forget the quote, but wasn't he also saying that, like, this will make all these different rebel cells sort of come out of hiding and, like, bubble to the surface, and that's what he wanted?
It's going to suck. It's got heaps of people going to die, but it's for the right cause.
Everyone will be united around the same cause and against the same punishment, I guess. Like, that's the thing, like, you know, like the Ghost team in Rebels, they were just one thing doing, you know, doing their stuff around Lothal, and then eventually they all start, you know, collaborating together and becoming one piece. But I am looking forward to this. I'm hoping we get this Mon Mothma, Saw Gerrera friction, because you saw it in Rebels, like, Saw's baiting Mon Mothma and, like, absolutely punishing her because she's, you know, soft and doing it the right way, whereas Saw is an extremist and going the other way. So I really hope we see that and sort of get those arcs.
So did you say episode 10 is – we're on 9 now. Episode 10 is where probably the prison break?
That's right, yeah. So 8, 9, and 10 are one arc, so that this is the prison arc. So 10 – next week they should be escaping, and then apparently 11 and 12 is the final – arc.
I just don't know what
wherever that may lead us to.
I don't know what to expect from it, like, you know, and I think it's going to finish really, really strong as well, because
cliffhanger.
I think not cliffhanger, but there'll be a lot, because there's a lot to play with. I mean, my biggest fear now, and I'm sure Turbo feels the same way, is that it's been 12 episodes for 1 year, and it's been, you know, a awesome ride. And now we're going to move into season two. And, you know, the plan, original plan was for 5 seasons, which would have been, you know, fucking awesome. And now they're going to do 4 seasons in 1 year, in one season, or 4 years in one season. Will the show suffer due to the rapid speed up of time?
Yeah, I guess they will have to sort of pick up the pace a bit in a way and cram a lot more into those sort of 3-episode arcs. But, the one thing about this show, and like, so every single Star Wars show till now, and even some like sequel films and everything, I've always had the like, what if they did it differently? Or what if they did this? Or I didn't quite like the way they did this. I don't understand why they did it this way. With Andor, I've got no qualms at all. I've got I don't question anything about Andor's story arc or characters or anything. Every single character has a reason to exist and a motivation. And there's no point in time in Andor where I'm going, that's a bit weird. Why did they do that? Like I've never said that.
Yeah.
In my mind. So that's what I'm writing about.
Cyril went to Deidre and Coruscant at ISB headquarters.
No, but like it's still in character. Like he's
a freak, and it worked.
Little space Nazi freak, like
yeah,
you know, and he's space, kind of awkward space Nazi space, guy, and
space KGB actually.
okay, space KGB. But what I'm saying is that, like, yeah, I didn't see that coming, but I didn't question it afterwards. It was like, yeah, that's in keeping with the character. That's reinforcing what we've already learned about that character.
You know what? I think it also with that character going on that it left him. Now it's like, cool, we can forget about him now type thing. Like, because I don't think we'll see much more of him.
I don't know. He's been around a long time.
I fucking hate him so much. I hope we don't get any more.
he's getting a big role. Like, my theory is that right now he's burned his bridge with her. Like, she must think he's the biggest creeper. And like, I love the line when she's like, in our last dialogue or conversation, you know, we were talking about this. And she's like, dude, you were brought in for questioning. That wasn't a conversation.
That was an interrogation.
I was like, oh, but her only use for him now is because he's like, oh, you know, gray jacket, yellow shoes or whatever, like useless. But I know his voice. If she can somehow get a snippet of his voice, that's the only way that Cyril gets back in of any use. And then she'll be like, all right, well, come along with me or something. Like, or he's just done.
No, you're right. You're right about the voice thing because they specifically don't leave mention these little things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll keep him in, and from season 1 to 2, he'll become a fucking ISB lieutenant or some shit.
Nah.
I think he's the type to, like, I don't know, get so frustrated with his mum, he'll just kill his mum or something. Like, yeah. Psycho, absolute psycho, kind of, you know, just lose his marbles.
Hopefully he kills his mum, but hopefully he loses his marbles at some stage.
I sent you that meme today where it was like Andor fans and it was like Obi-Wan and Vader fighting and they were just like, calm as all fuck. And then it was Cyril and his mum having cereal and everyone's like, yeah. Bananas.
Yeah,
I mean the meme.
Well, that's the thing. The only criticism I've ever heard anyone say about this show is it's just too slow, and I don't see any other or hear any other criticisms apart from that.
It was like, slow early, like the first episode. If you don't have the attention span to go for 2 hours on 3 episodes, like six,
but.
Four but to it's nine. Not
slow. Like if you compare the pace to episode 4, like
episode 1 and 2 was pretty slow. Like
But what I'm saying is that if you really think about it and you watch A New Hope and take it at face value, it's a like my kids think that is not the greatest movie because it takes a while to get going. You know, and the pace is actually not that fast compared to Empire or Jedi where things sort of move, you know, pretty at a fast pace. So I don't know. I don't think it's slow compared to the rest of Star Wars.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
I mean, it's slow compared to like prequels and, you know, other things, but yeah.
No, the backstory, what do you think of
Cousin Vel with Mothman?
Well, I was going to turn to that because there's, like you said, everything matters in this show. And, you know, the dialogue between Vel and Mon, or Turbo's girlfriend, because, you know, Mon Mothman is freaking out. She's sort of like, what have we done? I'm worrying over our heads. She's sort of losing the plot a bit. And she has no idea what Vel's been up to working with Luthen, has any idea that she had a big role in Aldani. And then she says, you know, we've chosen a side. But she also said to Mon, you took a vow. Who did she take a vow with? And when will we find out about that? What do you think, Sarah? She took a vow with who? Bail or
Gunner? I don't know. There might be other like family members that are in on this whole thing as well. Like, you know, who's to know? Yeah, what are the family members are there? Like, obviously, Perrin's got no idea. Like, he's got no idea, but
he's too much being a wannabe douchebag samurai jerk. He's the worst.
Oh, did you that comment about she's too old to find a husband or something? What was it?
No, because in Chandrila, like the custom is you marry very early. Like that's the thing. Everyone was fascinated by the
all the good ones are taken.
All the good ones are taken. You have to either get a widower. Or and like Mothma obviously knows that she's,
and that was the first time that I saw. That was the first time that when Vel said, "You know, all the good ones are taken." That was the first time I saw Mon Mothma actually smile. Like it was like a, like she's been sort of under pressure, and sort of paranoia and trying to keep everything under wraps. But when she said that, I thought that was pretty funny. If you watch her. Again, she's smiling.
Well, I love it how people are actually taking the piss out of Perrin right in front of his face. Like, she's obviously, like, she's saying all the good ones are taken, but actually, no, Perrin, you're actually quite shit. even Tay Colmer has a go at this because in the other episode we're having, you know, Mon Mothma's having another house party. She's sitting there and he's like, oh, I'm going to go, you know, be charitable or something. I'm going to go get some dinner. I'm starving. And Tay goes, I guess charity starts at home, and absolutely like fucking obliterates him, like, you know, intelligently. And he's just like, fuck you. And just walks off. I was like, I'm like living for this, like just drive by sledges that are just so good.
What does he do? What does he do again?
He's like
I can't tell if he's also a senator, right?
But no, he's not. She's the senator. He's just the husband.
So he's just living off her money. Yeah, right. Okay, makes sense.
And I'm trying to figure out. I haven't delved deep into Chandrillan etymology because I actually don't have that much free time or that kind of free time. But because Val's last name is Surfer. Mon's last name is Mothma, and Perrin is Father, F-A-R-T-H-A.
So what are you saying? Everything ends in A.
I don't know. It's just like our meaning sort of thing. Like, I'm onto something. But this family is like T-H-A. I don't know. Like, you know how some races, they sort of just, they adopt the name or something. I don't know. But I'm going to find out.
I don't know where you're going, but I think you need to work on that one.
I will. I'm going to put it down into my sort of Chandrillan word jumble. It's I'm on the page. But no, it's got me. Yeah. It's got me captivated. And I'm going to say like all good prequel stuff. Like we've had. Like I know you didn't watch Hot D, but me and the missus are on original Game of Thrones afterwards because it's all I wanted to do after. I mean, even Obi-Wan. Went straight to A New Hope, straight after. I wanted to, you know, keep going, keep the story going. Rings of Power, straight to Lord of the Rings. And, you know, I can't wait for this to finish and then sort of, you know, I'm waiting to visit Rogue One. But I mean, this week, the episode was called Nobody's Listening, and there's a line in Rogue Nobody's One.
Listening, nobody's listening, exclamation point.
Nobody's listening! And I'm going to get in trouble for that, I can tell. In the end of Rogue One, when they've sent the message to the ships and they're hobbling off, Cassian asks, Jin, do you think anybody's listening? So it just, they're just snippets, like, yeah, of
what was the
I guess
little kisses.
I was going to say it's almost like in The Last Jedi when they got the call out, Leia does the call out and it's like nobody's listening. You know, they're the call for help. Nobody's listening.
You should have used Lando. If only she had Lando's telephone who sent out a whole bunch of texts. Got a whole
Lando's probably got a pretty big contacts list, I reckon. He's a man about the universe.
So, Turbo, this episode nine, was it better than episode nine movie for you?
Oh, shit, yeah. Absolutely.
So Star Wars absolutely fans have an episode nine that they can say that they love now.
This is a better episode. It's a far better episode nine. Yeah. No. More rewatchable.
Well, that's true. What was the line, the very last line? He goes,
I sent out some messages that, like, you know, that clip in the bar where the thing comes down and the whole bar starts cheering.
Yeah.
It was
how many guards on each
how
level?
How many guards? Never more than 12.
Yes, prison break time. That's actually a perfect meme.
I finally cracked gift. Snoke.
Someone's got to have made that. Did you?
I sent it to everyone except you today. Sorry,
you fucking dog.
Well, you know, I wasn't even sure if you had internet. So,
it's on my phone.
Let me see. Where is it? Fuck! I sent a lot of memes to Turbo today. Maybe I didn't send it to Turbo. I must have sent it to everyone else. Mark Perez. Yeah, here we go.
I saw it anyway.
Okay.
I'm sure I can Google it, but yeah, that's going to make for a cracker.
I think it's going to be a good one because,
I was going to say with the prison uniforms, you know, they got that orange stripe down the side.
Yeah,
it's just random. I had flashbacks to my boyhood football club, soccer club. Lugano Sports Football Club, and our shirt was white with an orange stripe down the side. We also had white shorts with an orange stripe down the side. It was like identical to that. So, like, when I saw that, I was like, I've seen this before. What is this orange stripe?
Turbo's part of the Narkina 5 first 11.
Yeah, I know.
We went undefeated that season. So. What's your prediction for the you obviously prison breakout, but where do you think the finale's headed? Terb, I'll let you go first. You're not a man for speculation.
I don't know, because before, like, when we first found out that Cassian was going to prison, I thought that Vel and Cinta would have something to do with the breakout, but obviously they're not anything to do with the breakout, so I was thinking maybe a Saw Gerrera might come in and break out, but I don't think anyone is going to help them. They're just going to break out from within. So, look, obviously it has to be something to do with Cassian's, you know, damaging that pipe or something and doing a diversion tactic or something. But, I think it's just going to be chaos, and I'm looking forward to the prison breakout chaos.
I've got a theory of all theories.
Here we go.
It's going to be a shit throw it at the wall, but if it like lands, you heard it here first. Colonel Yularen will go, you fuckwits, I'm bringing in the Navy. Oh, and he's good buddies with
the Navy.
He's good buddies with, because the prison break, then they're like, you guys can't handle this. You need guys on the ground. He's good buddies with. Thrawn. Who? Mr. Thrawn.
I've been peddling this theory for months, but anyway.
I mean, you could be on, like, the prison is on water, right? So
brings him in, and It'll be. Well, I think he'll. What will he be? He'll be Grand. He'll be Admiral for easy at least. Grand Admiral probably. And the hunt will begin.
I am feeling that the ISB will figure out that they have Andor in custody, literally, and this will be part of the sort of tension and breakout. It'll add to the stress and the anxiety, the breakout, that the Empire will figure out that they have Andor in possession and sort of start scrambling units towards Narkeena 5 just as they're sort of, you know, mid-escape. And then by the time they arrive, it'll be just too fucking late, and it'll end with, like, exit and, fuck, we lost them. Like with Deidre just giving a snarl or something out on the runway or something, you know, like.
Yeah. Or, and they'll fuck it up, and then they'll be like, Colonel Elana will be like, I'm bringing in someone who will be able to find him.
This
is what you'll see. Come out of the darkness, pretend I'm all blue, come out of the dark, and it'll just be Thrawn will be there, bang. And then they'll finish the season.
So, okay, let's assume Thrawn's going to come back. Who do you think is going to play Thrawn? Like, what actor?
Cheers, Brosnan.
Have you got theories on that one?
Yeah, no, I haven't even thought about that.
It's going to be Mads. Not a Mads.
No Pierce Brosnan at all?
Cheers, Brosnan. Me and Jimmy talk about it a lot, but look, I think if anything, I don't think he's going to have a role to play this season, but
fuck, it'd be good,
I would
though.
Love nothing more than the season to finish, and then they've obviously got a bridge, like, you know, like either something cliffhangery will happen or rebellious will happen that'll start the fires that start bringing the all the rebels together, and then you get some sort of hologram between the Emperor, Mendo and Thrawn or something, it could just be a last minute second cameo where, you know, the Empire's pushing ahead with the Death Star, and then Thrawn could come in and say, I'm sorry, but the TIE Defender's more important. And then
I don't want any cameos. Screw all this. I don't.
Thrawn's not a cameo.
I don't need it.
It's Empire business related. Like,
it's a cameo as far as I'm concerned.
Thrawn isn't a cameo. He's never been seen on film.
Live action debut.
Live action. You shut your mouth, Turbo.
No, I'll be okay with it. No, I was going to say, like, they, Luthen and Vel want Cassian dead, right? So what do you think is going to happen there? That's one of the reasons why I thought they were going to try and break him out, but I think there has to be something in the last two episodes where they're going to try and kill Cassian. And
that will help him get out when he goes back to see the mum or something like that, because the mum's being watched. They're there as well, right?
Yeah, Luthen's worried that he's a big hole in his sort of identity.
He's got his cash as well.
He's only got 200 grand. He only took his portion and left the rest with Vel. So Vel's got. Thing, but I also think that when she dumps that ship, made a comment like the money's safe, but the ship's been, you know, hidden. Deidre's going to find the ship that they escaped in. That's the only crumb of that. But I don't know. Well, obviously, Cassian becomes a vital member of this rebellion and one of Mothma's people. So I don't. I obviously he's going to find a way to. I don't know. You think he'll get out, read the manifesto, think, fuck, what have I done? It's time to.
Oh shit! Yeah, the manifesto. I keep forgetting.
Join the fight. Yeah. But what? You think no one in that hotel room, or did he buy that apartment, or what? Like, he's going to rock up, you know, 3 months later and just take his shit from the shower.
Well, maybe he left the manifesto with his mum, I don't know. Maybe dropped it there.
Yeah, that manifesto's got to play a role in the in his Rebel Alliance jumping or, you know, taking it seriously. And then Yeah, I think it's going to be gripping. And gripping.
I'm telling you, all I'm saying is if Thrawn pops into this series, all of our listeners will hear the squeal from my house in the Shire in Sydney.
All six of them.
Yeah.
I think we'll hear it from Jimmy Dice over in Maine as well.
I'm excited. Should we try and organize a finale party, Terbs? Would you come for that? Or is your family committed to watching together?
Well, I've been watching every episode with my older son until this week where I was away in Brisbane and he just watched it without me. So I don't know, that's been broken. So
line's been broken.
Yeah, yeah.
It's there no more.
I'm open to that. We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, make a good little Wednesday. Oh, I have a feeling, does the US go back an hour tonight? Daylight savings ends somewhere. Maybe actually the UK.
I don't think they do it. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I have a feeling the time's going to change because, you know, I remember Mando was around 7:30 p.m. from memory. I don't know.
Also, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was later.
It was later at this time of year. So I feel like another time zone shifting, it's going to affect ours. Because, you know, I was loving 4:52, just wrap up work, bang, go. And then now it's 5:52 p.m.
No, I prefer it being later. I just can't get it watched that early, so.
I know, because that way everyone's – if it's like 7:52, that's perfect. It sort of gives everyone a chance to sort of get there without getting spoiled as well. Because in this culture –
yeah, I'm down for that. That'll be good.
People are dying to just spoil it or have an opinion first, so.
If Thrawn comes on the screen, I will paint my face blue and go to work the next day.
Well, I don't think Andor can be spoiled too much at all.
No, you're right.
It's one of those shows that you just got to watch. And I've seen a few things where I shouldn't have seen it and it didn't have any impact on my viewing pleasure of Andor. Oh, there was – I think I actually saw – what did I saw something about Snoke
before Steel, I saw it. Steel sent out that Snoke's theory sucks. But he said that out before
I kind of saw that and I went, what's going on here?
I feel like Steel has become a Star Wars insider now. He's been an extra. He's been in Star Wars. He's sort of, you know, he went to a few premieres of, he went to the premiere of Andor as well. But I feel like he's got early access now.
Yeah, he's getting texts every time something crazy is going to happen.
But unless it's like unless it's a Thrawn or something, I don't think he can be spoiled by
anything. I think you're right, Andor. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. What's the date? Sunday. We're 3 days out from the next episode. And then we have a 2-episode finale. So it's been good having you boys. I'm waiting with bated breath. The weeks seem to go a lot slower now that we don't have content on Mondays and Fridays. And in other news, actually, Mando confirmed February 22. New trailer, December 25, so Christmas Day. Apparently,
that'd be epic.
I can't wait for all the people to go, this Mando's shit. It's nothing like Andor.
Do we know? Is it another 8 episodes, or do we know that at all? Or?
No, I don't know.
Because would that lead February, March, April? Would that lead into Celebration? Would we be watching the final in Celebration in
February? Did you say we? You're talking about? Are you going?
Only you.
I'm. Yeah, I'll be on.
Celebration is that? It's not cool.
Matt's
anymore.
Matt's got 3 more years till he could fucking
45. No, I can get. I'm not going this one. I'll go to the next one in America. Going to America is easier, sort of.
LA is not too bad. Like it's just one flight, and it's not too bad.
One flight.
Actually, and a lot of you're right though. It could line up.
When is it? October, May, or?
It's right. April 7th.
So this is February 22. You'll be midway through. 6, 7, 8. I don't know. Maybe. It might just be finishing. Okay.
We might see the finale of Mando at Celebration London.
Before it plays, that would be epic.
Yeah.
Rightio, fellas.
All right, guys. Good to chat.
All right.
Loving the energy. And I will see you all very soon, I hope. May the Force be with you. Go Arsenal.
May the Force be with all of us.
Go Liverpool.